Praise God. Well, why don't we turn to Matthew 19:26. Thank you, Lord. Actually, 23. Matthew 19, verse 23. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That last phrase, what I want to focus on tonight. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And we've been talking about faith the last couple weeks, and faith and healing. That's what we're going to be, you know, we're in a series about that. And I just want to stir us up tonight and go through the Word and show that God says that all things are possible through Him. With men. Notice it says, with men this is impossible. But with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Some people say, well, this such and such is impossible. That's impossible. And a lot of times what they should say is, I don't know how to do that. Or I don't have the knowledge to make that happen. But impossible? God can do anything. So we use that, people throw that around that term a lot, impossible. No, with God, all things are possible. All things. All things. All things except the one thing you have a problem with. All things except your problem. No, all. You know what all, when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance and in the Vine's Dictionary, you know what that Greek word that's translated all there means? It means all. It means all. All. Everything. Everything but this thing that's in front of my path. No, all. All. All things are possible. With men, this is impossible. Some things might be impossible with men. And that shouldn't surprise us. Because men are men. They're not God. And some things may be impossible with men. Some things that were deemed impossible a century ago are now possible. People used to think it's impossible that you could go to the moon. But we've been there and back many times. It's not impossible. All kinds of things. Probably, you know, people would think it's impossible that you could hold a device in your hand and walk around and communicate with anybody on the face of the planet and have almost infinite information at your fingertips at any one time. And it could take pictures and videos and do all kinds of things that people, you know, several centuries ago said that's impossible. Well, it's an everyday device to us now. It's a smartphone or, you know, what our computers do or, you know, all these things. That's a changing definition. Impossible. What's impossible today for men may not be impossible 5 years from now for men. But with God, He already knows. God's not surprised at smartphones or anything. He could have had them walking around with Jesus. It was just, you know, He could have made the infrastructure. And I'm sure the things that we have right now aren't too impressive to Him. You know, He knows what's coming down 100 years from now if we're still here. No, with God, all things are possible. But we're just going to go through the Scriptures and read some things along that line. Let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1, verse 35. And the angel answered, and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." She who was called barren is pregnant. She who has not known a man was pregnant. Is that impossible? People say that's impossible. No, with God, it's not impossible. God did it. That's our Savior. And He was born of a virgin. Now let's turn over to Mark 9, verse 14, and we'll really get into this thing. Mark 9, verse 14. Mark 9, verse 14. "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' And one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' And when they brought him to him, And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything..." Notice what the man said. He comes to Jesus and said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So the man comes to him and said, "Look, this has been happening. And you see it. And if you can do anything, if you can help us at all, please help us." And Jesus said, "It's not about whether I can do it." He said, "No, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things. All things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" What does he mean? Not going to go into this in depth tonight, but he's saying, "I believe. Help my unbelief." He's saying, "I believe." Faith is of the heart. And we're not going to go into this directly, but faith is of the heart. And his heart's saying, "Lord, I believe you. But God, my head cannot wrap around what you're saying. Help the part of me that's not believing. My heart is jumping out saying, 'That's right.' But part of me is saying, 'But my God, I've lived with this for years.' But you can get delivered. We can get healed. We can see the impossible if we'll have faith in our heart, even if part of us, even if there's our head, even if there's doubt in our head that's saying, 'I don't see how that's going to happen.' It doesn't matter. In our heart, we say, 'No, I believe God.'" So he said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." 25, "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said, 'This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" But, verse 23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now we started talking about faith. Faith is believing. Believing is faith. I want to read you, read this last week, but I want to read this again. From Strong's Concordance, faith is firm persuasion. Firm persuasion. A conviction based upon hearing. You've heard something and you believe it. You're persuaded that that's the truth. That's how faith comes, is we hear what God said and we believe it. In our hearts, we have a firm conviction that that is the truth. From the Vine's Expository Dictionary, it says, a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation or truth. A firm conviction. It's also assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. It's believing that what God said is true. And if we'll believe or have faith, the Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. Now, many people believe that all things are possible with God, that God can do anything. A lot of people say, yeah, God can do anything, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. I don't know if it can happen in my situation. I don't know if it's God's will. Well, if people, this is why not knowing if it's the will of God is such a faith killer, when people say, well, if it be thy will, God, please do that. You can't be firmly persuaded. You can't be have a confident assurance if you don't know it's the will of God. F.F. Bosworth said in his book, Christ the Healer, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once we know what God has said, only then, and what we know what his will is, only then can we believe it. Only then can we reach out and grab it. If we don't know that he's told us, made us a promise, there's no way we can be firmly assured and confident that it'll happen. We can't be assured. Used this example a couple weeks ago, but we were talking about, you know, what if I came in and said I was going to give, you know, one person in the crowd or one person in the congregation $100, let's say. You know, I used quite a slightly different example last time, but let's say I'm going to give one person in this room $100. Now, if you don't know that that person's you, then you can't be firmly persuaded that you're going to have $100. And this is the way people look at it a lot of times with like healing or anything. They think, well, God can, I just don't know if it's his will. Well, if it's not his will, how do you know? I mean, you don't know if you're one of the lucky ones that you're going to win the lottery or not. You don't know. So you can't have faith. People pray all the time saying, oh, God, please heal if it be thy will. Well, that just means, God, if I'm on your good side or if I'm my number came up, then heal me. If not, well, I guess I'm not going to get it. You can't be in faith like that. You can't be assured. But if I came in and said, I want to give everybody in here, whoever comes up and asks me, you can have $100. Whoever. Whoever comes asks me, you can have $100. I got them right here. I got the wad of hundreds right here. Now, if you believe that, you would come up, and if you asked me, said, I believe, if your word's good, I have $100 coming, you could believe, if you believed I was a man of my word, and that what was going to be made good, then you could come up and ask me, you could have firm assurance, conviction, that you would get $100. You can believe that. Because I said, whoever, whoever. And that's how you have conviction. That's how you have faith. So when God's saying, when it says in the Word that all things are possible to him who believes, believes what? Believes the Word of God. If you believe, if you have a firm persuasion, a firm conviction, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible, and that's framed in the context of what God, I mean, you know, you're not going to just go off and believe some tangential thing that you have no basis in the Word, but if God said it, all things are possible to him who believes, just like this man. It was impossible for that boy just to be made whole, probably in that day. Probably didn't have much in the way of medical help or anything. And yet, and this boy had been there in this condition for a long time, and Jesus healed him. Let's turn over to Acts 14:4. Thank God. Acts 14:4. Let's read verse 3, actually. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the rulers, by both the Gentiles and Jews, with their rulers, to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. They were preaching the gospel there. What's the gospel? That Jesus saves, that he delivers, that he heals, that he came to redeem us from the curse of the law and to make us whole. So that's what they're declaring. They're declaring the gospel. Verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Never. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently. Now, Paul is speaking. What's Paul saying? Paul is preaching the gospel. Paul's preaching that Jesus saves, that he heals, that he can do anything, that he came to deliver us. And so this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed. So he's looking out and he's preaching to these people. And he looks out and sees this man, and he can see that this man, his faith's been quickened. He can see that this man is something on his face, something on his countenance. You know, he's not standing up because he's crippled, but something's on it. He can just see that this man believes. This man has faith to be healed. Now, this man has been crippled for his whole life. That's all he's ever known. All he's ever known. He's never walked. He does not know what it was like to play with other children. He doesn't know what it's like to run around. He doesn't know what it's like just to get out of bed in the morning. His mom had to come in and get him. Father had to do something. He had to be carried everywhere. Had to scoot around something. He's never, ever walked. But Paul's preaching to him, and something in that man, he's hearing the word. Faith's coming, and he believes. And Paul looks at him and says, you're ready to be healed. He can see it on his face. So Paul, verse 9, Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand straight up on your feet, and he leaped and walked. So what just happened there? Paul saw that Paul's preaching, he sees this man, that man's receiving it, that man's faith's being quickened, and he said, you, get up. He can't get up. He can't do that. The man looked at him and said, all right, and he jumped up. Now people say, well, that happened. No, the man could have sat there and go, I can't do that. I can't get up. But no, Paul saw that he had faith. This is not a magic thing. Paul saw that he was persuaded that what Paul was speaking was true and that God could do what Paul was saying. And he was just ready. And Paul saw that he was ready. And when your faith is ready, jump on it. And Paul stopped what he was saying and said, you're ready. Jump on your feet. And he leapt up and he walked. Never walked. Now, is that impossible? The man had never walked. Is that impossible with man? Most people, I mean, yes, medicine has come a long way. But if the person has been crippled for their whole life, never walked, in most cases that would be declared impossible even today. But it was not impossible with God. He believed. All things are possible to him who believes, who has faith, who's firmly persuaded in what God will do. And this man isn't special. He just heard the word and said, that's for me. I believe I'll take that. And he stepped out and did something he could not do before. He could not do it. He could not walk. And then when we step out in faith, if we believe, we've received, then we step out and say, no, I can do this now. I can act like it. It's not working something up, saying, okay, I'm just going to act like I'm healed. No, if we believe something, we'll say, well, I mean, he could have said, but I can't do that. I'm crippled. Can't you see? I can't do that. He said, yeah, I believe that. And he made some kind of motion, something, scooted something, got himself up, and that power of God hit his legs and made him whole. Boom. And he's not special. God is no respecter of persons. He just heard the word and he believed. Paul did not call him out and said, you there, you just get up because the Spirit of the God, of God has come on you. He said, no, he saw that he was taking a step, that he was responding to what God was saying through Paul. Let's turn over a few chapters back to Acts 3. Acts 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Here's another one. He's lame. From his mother's womb was carried. Can't walk. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So he's just there doing what he always does, begging. Verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently on us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now notice this, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Notice verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name. So the name of Jesus, the name above every name, through faith in that name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Through faith, his name, through faith in this name, has made this man strong. This man who had never, ever walked was made strong through faith in Jesus' name. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This thing that had never happened, this man was brought daily to this gate to beg. But this day, through faith in the name of Jesus, that was all changed. And he got up and he walked. And he walked and he leapt. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, never having walked, it said he leapt and praised God. He went walking and leaping and praising God. I can't imagine. I mean, I'd be running around everywhere. He doesn't even know what it feels like for his legs to hit the ground, and he's just going nuts. Just, I can't imagine how happy you would be. But that's because of our God, and that's because of faith in him. And this man was not special. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't say. That's what Peter said in verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us? This is an apostle of God. Peter's saying this, but he's saying, why are you looking at us? Why are you looking at us? As though by our own power or godliness, by our own, you know, that we're super Christians, or that our own power, and he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's saying, it's not us. It's not us. He said, though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk. It wasn't that. And he gets down to it, down before, and he said, no, it's by the name and faith in that name that this man was made to walk. And that's it. By faith in his name, he's walking. And that's why you see him running around like a crazy person here, is because Jesus has healed him. Hallelujah. Thank God. And that did not stop with the axe. There's nothing that says that these things passed away. Thank God. Hallelujah. Turn over to Acts 10:38. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Acts 10:38. How God, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. This is, if you skip back, you know, in context, Peter's talking of, he's talking to Cornelius. He's preaching the gospel to him. And look in verse 34. Acts 10:34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. He shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him, doesn't mean to run in terror. That means to reverence, to honor him. Well, if you heard what God had said, part of reverencing and honoring him would be to believe it. If you said, oh, that's nice, great, that's what the Bible says, oh, that wouldn't be honoring somebody. But when he says something, to believe what he said, to say, you said it, I believe you, you're faithful, I believe in your character, and I'm persuaded that that's true. Verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, what is he saying here? The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea. This is what's being proclaimed when we talk about the gospel, like we mentioned earlier, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. This is that word. What's the word? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We just read what two of his disciples did. Paul was preaching that gospel, and the man, he saw that he had faith to be healed, and he got up. And Peter and John came by, saw a man lame, and he got up and walked. His disciples. And we see that if you turn over to Hebrews 13:8, we just saw there it said that Jesus, that God has no partiality. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what did we just read? What Jesus did while he was on earth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all. And Jesus, that same Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus of Nazareth is in the same business of doing good and healing all. Whoever will come to him believing. Whoever believes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if all things were possible to him who believes, when Jesus said it, all things are possible to him who believes today. It's believing the word. It's accessible, just like Peter said, that God shows no favoritism. Jesus is the same as he was then. His healing power is the same. The only thing that we need to do is come to him believing that that's true and get what has already been paid for. It's the same today. It's the same today. It is the same today. This is an account for us so that we can know the true word of God and know what happened, so we can say, this is what's going to happen today. 2012. This same power is available to us today. It has not passed away. There is nothing in the Bible that says that God has stopped in the healing business. We read in Acts 10:38 what Jesus did when he walked this earth. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same. If he were here today, he would be doing the same thing. The thing is, we're his body. He's given authority to us. He's already purchased healing and health and deliverance for us. And so it's the same. If it had passed away, if he all of a sudden wasn't in the healing business, he wasn't going about doing good and healing all, he would have changed. But he hasn't changed. The Bible says he hasn't changed. The Bible said he never changes. He's always the same. And so that means today his healing power is available to us. And that means today that all things are possible to him who believes. Even those things that men have declared impossible, doctors having declared impossible. Well, we can't do anything for you. Well, I'm sorry, this is too far gone. All that means is medical science can't do anything for us. All that means is it's beyond men's ability to do things. But God is still God. God that we read about here is still God today, and his power is still effective today, and his power goes way beyond any man's power. When their power stops, when their ability stops, when their knowledge stops, God's keeps going, and his ability and power knows no limits. Knows no situation where God says, uh-oh, don't know what to do here. Doesn't exist. He is the Almighty. He is the great I Am. He is the King of the universe. He spoke light into existence, and it's still going today. He is above everything. He knows how the whole solar system works. He knows how every part of the human body works. He created it. He knows exactly what's going on in all of our bodies right now. He knows. And he's not surprised. He knows what the U.S. economy needs right now. He wouldn't go, oh, that's a tough one. Let me think about that and get back to you. No, he knows. We are talking about the Creator, the Life Giver, the All-Powerful One, the Omniscient One, Omnipotent. He is the Great I Am. And there is no problem that he comes up to and says, oh, I'll have to check back with you. I'll have to study up. I'll have to look and see what somebody else says about that because I just don't know. No, he knows, he has the power, and he has the willingness, and we're his children. Hallelujah. Amen. He's good. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we're so thankful for your word, for your holy written word that we have so that we can know what you've said, that we don't have to get it passed down through men, somehow distorted, somehow twisted to where it's not your word. That's what religion does. That's what men's doctrines do. Men can fail. Men can twist it. But your word cannot be twisted. Your word endures forever. Your word will not pass away. Lord God, your word is the same today as it was when you spoke it, when holy men of old wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's the same. It's for us. It's ours. Lord God, we believe it. We take it as ours, not as a bunch of stories, not as a bunch of just accounts, just for our entertainment, but as the truth, the truth, the truth. And Lord God, we are men today just like those were men back 2,000 years ago. And Lord God, if it's true that when they stepped out and believed your word that the impossible could happen, it's true today that when we step out, when we believe your word, that the impossible can have. All things can happen. All things are possible to him who believes. We declare, God, that we are believers and not doubters. Say that. I'm a believer. Say, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. Say it one more time. I'm a believer and not a doubter. Somebody said it like this: believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Choose to doubt your doubts. When you are like that man that comes before God and saying, oh God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Choose to doubt that part of you that's doubting. Say, I choose not to believe that because you're limited. Mine, you're limited. You don't know everything and you're doubting because of something you see in the natural, but your limited information is wrong. God's word is eternal. God's word is correct. And I choose to believe what God's word says, and I choose to doubt you doubts because you're based on faulty evidence. You're not right. You failed me before. Intuition, emotions, intellect, you failed me before, but God's word will never fail me. And I choose to believe God's word and his testimony and doubt anything that appears contrary. Hallelujah. Anything that appears contrary, I choose to doubt that because God said all things are possible. That includes my situation. That includes what I'm facing today. That is not an exception. There is no asterisk in that scripture or in any of the scriptures that we read. It says all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. We're believers. We're believers. And God's word is true. He is faithful. He is just. And he will always keep his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.